it's just changed the whole productivity is, you're going to see this whole stock market is telling us something, that profits are going to be very high because productivity is very high because we're eliminated commutes. We've eliminated, unnecessary business trips.
Mm-hmm.
We can put people together that we never could put together.
We're using
things like DocuSign and other things to make business more efficient.
Yeah, we're being forced to use it, and
right.
We're realizing how good it is.
And then all your clients are now, you know, online, and they were reluctant to do it in the past. Mm-hmm. Now they'll just say, of course, I have to.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
Exactly.
Look away, seven trouble.
I just saw.
Yeah. Oh. My...
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
All right. I don't know what I'm struggling with this time. I'm really.
I thought you were the instructor here.
I know. I just said you showed me how to do it.
Here we go. We're good now. I was struggling though.
You look dominant in that position.
Oh no, that's no good. We need to change something.
No, it's cool. We gotta have you. Usually when, you know what might be doing it is, your fan. Zoom will go to whoever's talking. And because your fan is going on, it may be, hearing that and thinking you're talking very fast.
Okay. Is there a way to see Tyler too?
You should be able to see him now.
So you can slide left and right, I think, Sam. And like if you slide all the way over, you can see everybody at once. And
I got it. Okay. I see everybody now. Okay, cool.
Well, Sam, I guess it's going to be you as the focal person for the entire day.
Is my fan still bothering it? Should I turn it off?
No. It's just that, now, when I talk, do you see me?
And then yeah.
And when it goes quiet, does everybody see you?
I don't know.
Tyler, who do you see when we don't talk?
No, it toggles whoever's talking, Rob.
Okay.
Now, there's a button you can press on there where you can see everybody at once, too.
Where's that?
Well, I'm on my phone. And so, like, I just swipe over and I can see everybody. So I can see you and Sam at the same time. But
yeah, I've got everybody up on top, and then who's ever speaking is in the center.
Gotcha.
Maybe okay, I see everybody. I turned my fan off. It should be slowing down. So yeah. Hopefully that helps.
Well, it's no problem. It's just that it's going to be attracted to sound.
Okay.
Whoever speaking is the one that it jumps to. So it's a brilliant concept anyway. Well, I've got a kind of a scratchy throat. So I want you guys to talk today. Tell me what's going on. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just now joining back with the team. Kind of. I was working on those, the PPP program and doing all of the SBA loans for those small businesses. So that's kind of starting to slow down a little bit, and I'm getting more involved with the team. So that's kind of where I've been, just getting caught up with everything that's going on. Doing a lot more research because I really took the time with the PPP program, took me away from doing research and staying up to date with everything. But I'm glad to be kind of back. It was a long few months there.
So tell me, did you actually process the loans? Or what?
Yeah, so I did the calculation. So I would go through all of the documents that the small business owners would send in and just make sure all of them were correct. And then I'd do the calculation for it. So I'd have to submit it into a different like processor. And yeah, so I did all of the reviewing of the loans and stuff.
Cool. Well, were you working for the bank then?
Mm-hmm. Technically, yeah.
Wonderful. That's a great experience. Yeah. So did you meet anybody that was interesting?
I did. I mean, I got to know a lot of people, but we weren't really, we didn't really have to talk to any of the business owners. So I just met a lot of people through like Bank of America and stuff like that. I'm also in, the only thing I'm still doing for the program is doing escalations that are from like Brian Moynihan himself. So, in his like small team underneath him.
What is that? Escalations? What are those?
They're, just like, applications that didn't go through smoothly. And they're having like, you know, the owners are kind of protesting like the money they're getting and stuff. So I just have to process those, kind of thing. So
sounds like you've got an important job there.
Yeah. It's been different. Learned a lot though. So yeah.
Good. Good. All right, Tyler, what have you been doing, buddy?
Same stuff. It's been tough. I don't know if you're hearing this from your other teams you work with. It's just been tough to bring in new clients. Like, people that were already kind of on the edge, it's not as difficult to push them across the finish line. But people that might have been very early in the prospecting process, it's kind of a, hey, I'm on hold right now. Let's talk once everything, you know, normalizes, whatever that means. But you know, basically once third quarter rolls around, after the fourth is kind of what I keep getting a recurring answer. So I don't know if you're hearing that from other teams. It's just difficult right now to speed that up a little bit. People are hesitant to meet in person, and that tends to be where a lot of the interaction happens.
Have you tried using the Zoom or anything like it?
Yeah, we use WebEx. But, you know, a lot of my prospects come from cold calls, and so they want to meet in person because up until then I'm just a fictitious virtual being. So I think, you know, that tends to be where I make a lot of progress when I can sit down for a coffee or in their office. That goes a long way.
How about centers of influence?
Haven't had really any referrals coming in lately. I think maybe CPAs have been, I'm guessing, just inundated with both PPP stuff and then tax filing pushback. The deadline got pushed back, and I think a lot of people are waiting now to file in July. But I think as a team, we haven't seen as much on either. I'm trying to think. Trent's got a call at 1 o'clock with what could be a pretty big prospect. We'll see what that turns into.
Yeah, I don't think the world has changed. I think our communications, I think it's a communications problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm running into. I'm just having a hard time. We're not losing opportunities. They're just being pushed back months, which is frustrating.
What I just did, which was basically buy an equally weighted S&P 500, I think is an idea that will last maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, the equally weighted S&P 500 has outperformed every other type of value growth, market weighted. It's been the number one over time. Now, for the last 6 years, it's underperformed. The spread has never been bigger between the equally weighted and the market weighted. If you look at what's happening now, Tyler, the market weighted, you could short the SPY and buy the RSP and make a point every day.
You're really getting emphasis on that. You don't, you know, it's like the FANG's now almost 25% of S&P. So, you know, you're kind of buying a small cap, less tech heavy index.
But it's really interesting how it's performing even value, outperforming value.
Yeah, it's following more of the small cap rebound, I think.
Right. So I've been following it for maybe, four or five days now, and every single day, the first day it was SPY was down 0.5%. It was up 0.5%. Mm-hmm. Then it was up, you know, like 3.5, and the SPY was up 2.5. Today it's up like 2.5, and the other one's up 1.5. So it's almost
it's better.
If you can get a percent difference, that's huge. anyway,
it's interesting with 12 values done over the past week, it's still 7% behind growth for the year.
It's, say again.
Value for how well it's done over the past week or so, it's still 17% behind growth for the year.
Yeah.
So it's just, you're right. You are seeing it's a really big decoupling, and you're starting to see value snap back. It's just, how long does that trend continue? Financials have left.
If you study it, I mean, the spread is like 60%. You know, it just went like, it usually goes like this, and then all of a sudden it goes shoo, and now it's going to go shoo.
Yeah.
Now, eventually we're going to want to be back in growth, and I don't want to sell my growth stocks. But I can end up spending the next year underperforming the market unless I own an equally weighted S&P, which,
sure,
you know me, I don't like that.
Well, I just ran your spreadsheet, and you've been a good year so far, for sure, compared to the index. We've been fortunate with the timing back in March, too.
How did I do?
Well, for the year, you are up about 4.25%. We're beating the S&P by about 5.
I'd say that's fair based on our intellectual capability.
That's through the end of May. Well, if I could tell you we're going to beat the S&P by 5% every year, we'd both be living in different places.
No, I'd be living in the same place.
No, you there. I said that, and I was thinking, well, but yeah, I mean, that's a great start to the year. But
And I don't think we took any more risk than the market. We've got almost we've got $1.5 million in cash, and we started with no cash. Think about it. We've outperformed, and we raised a lot of cash. So, I mean, we took a lot less risk, and we did quite a bit better.
I think the risk you took wasn't standard deviation risk, it was timing risk.
Oh, yeah.
And we were fortunate there. But right. What are you hearing from your other teams? Are they having similar issues on just converting at this point? Is everything being delayed, or what are they doing to kind of push that across?
I think people are so shocked by this that they haven't gotten used to the idea of prospecting using different tools. So to me, that's an opportunity to demonstrate to the market that we're still in business.
Okay.
I'd go back to my monthly calls with my centers of influence. Which you may not have been doing initially. So I would start them. And what I'm finding, let me give you an example. I think you can do more business this way than we can do otherwise. It's just an add-on. It's not or, I mean, it's and. So you do Zoom and in person. You do Zoom and cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I did the other day. I had the head of the head of training for Morgan Stanley wanted me to help them put together a program for increasing productivity, right? Which is what they always want. He came to me with his plan, and it was a horror show. Okay, so I kind of reworked his plan. And then because we've coached maybe 2,000 of their guys. And what people want is exactly what you're asking for right now. Rob, could you put together a group of really successful FAs that are, and we could just share ideas as to what's working? Okay. That's what you just asked for. What's working, Rob? Okay. So we're going to do a number of different things, but I'm going to bring there's a mutual fund company that has been working with Morgan Stanley. So I got the president of the mutual fund company together with the head of training with myself and then with three district directors from the mutual fund company. And we had a conference call and it took about 45 minutes. If I'd have tried to do that, in the old days, it would have taken me maybe never, okay, to get it together. Maybe never. Maybe I could never have done it. But they were willing to do it because it only took 45 minutes. And at the end, the president of the mutual fund company said, Rob, I just want to take a minute and thank you for putting this together. This is going to really work out fabulously for us. And I think for Morgan Stanley, and the guy that's running the thing was like so appreciative, right? So now we're going to have a series of follow-up meetings. We can monitor the progress. We're going to put together a group of FAs and we're going to track them. And then we're going to have like a, it'll be voluntary whether you want to have other people see your production and see your progress, but we're going to have guys compete with each other. You know, it's like some people like to bet on the first tee and other people don't. So for those people that want to bet on the first tee and say, yeah, I'm in, I want to compete. We'll show them how they're doing versus the other guys and, create some competition. So anyway, a lot of good ideas came out of it. But my point is I could not have put those people together. So what was I? I was a connector. See, I was a person that, now there's something in it for me, of course, because I'll be doing a lot of the training, but, the point is that you should be a connector in here. You should be talking to people and asking them what they need. What are you trying to do? What's your problems? Because they're having the same problems you are. Right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, what can you do for them to connect them to somebody that they need to meet or talk to or solve a problem for them? But you can't do that unless you're talking to them and asking them what they need and figuring out who are your influencers that are out there that solve the puzzles. Okay, so if you're not talking to your centers of influence and you're not talking to the guys that are driving your niches, then you're missing the boat here. So you should have a regularly scheduled 12-4-2 with every center of influence and every center of influence inside every niche that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because guess what? Because you didn't have those other prospecting tools, your cold calling tool failed you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have multiple prospecting tools. You can't just have cold calling. You got to have different ways of approaching people so that they don't fall apart when coronavirus comes along. Am I being too tough on you, or is that?
No, I think that's 100% accurate.
I think you relied because you were good at it and nobody was doing it and it worked. Why do anything else? I might as well just do that, right?
I think that's fair.
So, look, this is not easy. To get a business owner to turn his practice over to you and help him sell it or you get the proceeds from it is hard work. Everybody wants that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can build a team that will put you in a position to get that business because you're delivering a different client experience. Because you're doing Supernova, 12-4-2, rapid response, financial plan, and they know it and you do it consistently for every single client. You give a great concierge experience to the client. You have a better product. The problem is the market has no idea.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. So you need to share that with the market and remind them like every day. Because they forget. I'll give you a quick story. I had a, this guy that was the head of training, he used to be at Merrill, and he said, you know what convinced me that Supernova works? I did Supernova. When I left, I handed my book to, you know, to different people in the office. Senior guy got my book, got my big client. He called me later and said, hey, the client left, did an ACATS. So I called him and asked him why he did the ACATS. And he said, well, Rick called me every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And when you didn't call, I thought you didn't care.
Stuff.
That was a big client.
Mm-hmm.
Big. Okay. So once they've seen Perry, they don't want to go back, you know. Once they've seen Supernova, they don't want to go back, but you cannot assume that they know that you're delivering a different client experience. You got to brag about it. You got to teach them. You got to constantly, and you got to ask your own clients for introductions because they know what you're doing and they know it's different. So it's a matter of turning the attention that you spent on cold calling to asking your existing clients, asking your centers of influence. And Tyler, I think this is the best time I've ever seen to build a mastermind group.
Yep, I've been kind of working on getting some names together for that.
Right, because of this, because of Zoom. We can do a mastermind group in 45 minutes and have a pretty good meeting.
Sure.
I mean, it'd be nice to have dinner sometime, but, you know, people don't want to get engaged in something that's going to take a long time. Right? All right, so we're going to run out of time in 3 minutes. But my point is look, this is a perfect excuse to say, I've got to diversify my prospecting. I got to build these longer-term tools that will allow me to have influencers that will refer serious business to me rather than me just saying, I'm a young kid, I'm out here, I'm just going to cold call until I get clients. Okay, so you got to build your network and rely on them and help them and be a connector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it to heart, both of you guys. The mastermind groups are fun, and they will help you. I mean, Curtis Brown built a mastermind group among managers, diverse managers. 10 black managers in America. And it's fabulous. So, you know, it doesn't have to be all the people that serve as business owners. It could be, you know, a bunch of your best friends that you played golf with that are in different businesses. And you get together and do a mastermind group of how you're going to help each other in business. You know, put the golf team back together. Well, you know, I don't have all the answers, but don't make it, you don't have to make it painful. It should be people you like and trust. And
sure.
Yeah.
Same thing with you, Sam. Put your sorority sisters back together and, you know, people that your athletic friends that you did stuff with. And if they're not in business or they don't care about business, then forget it. But if they're all in the same situation or they're all trying to connect and grow, then it makes sense. All right, so that's your assignment. Build your mastermind group for next month.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.